Starting next month, a new emperor will reign in Japan. The 85-year-old Emperor Akihito is stepping down because of his age and poor health. His son, the Crown Prince Naruhito, will take his place on the throne. Akihito is the country's first emperor to abdicate in nearly 200 years, and peace has been a theme for him. Akihito often talks about World War II because he says he doesn't want people to forget that time in Japanese history. But with his abdication comes a new era for Japan, an era with a new symbolic name, Reiwa. The name is breaking with custom, and some people think it's not a good fit for Japan's future. Joining us to explain is Toshihiro Nakayama, a Japan fellow at the Wilson Center. Toshi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And let's start with the reason this new era was announced. It's because it's the end of an older era. The abdication of the Emperor Akihito is happening in just a few weeks. Mm-hmm. How significant is this moment in the history of what is the oldest hereditary monarchy in the world?
Well, for the Japanese people, emperor is a very symbolic existence. It shows sort of the continuity and the feeling of affinity and the fact that we are a community. But it doesn't have a political role whatsoever. So it's not it's banned by the constitution for the emperor to have any political role. So the actual sort of impact is kind of difficult to measure. But, as a symbolic figure, emperor is always important. And the change of the emperor is, of course, very important. And each emperor would have his own era, and each era would have its own name.
So could you explain these eras and their relationships to the emperors as they come and as they go? Why are they so important culturally to Japan?
Well, this is very unique to Japan, right? No one else uses it, even in East Asia. But it's a very important part of Japanese people's lives. For instance, when we write our birthdays in our official document, we would often use this era, right? So, like myself, I was born in Showa. That's the period before Heisei, which is right now. I was born in Showa 42, right? So it's really important part of people's daily lives.
So you're saying that people actually still use it as a way to mark the passage of time, as a calendar system.
Exactly. It's not efficient. Some way it's very inefficient because we kind of get confused where we are. But still, like I said, it shows you that you're part of this bigger community and you kind of know where you're at in history. So like Showa is from 1926 to 1989, right? It's a long period. But like I would call myself a Showa generation. Right?
Now that's interesting because 1926 to 1989 spans some very historically important times in Japan, where it was very different in the 20s versus the 40s versus the late 80s.
Exactly.
How do you distinguish between that?
Well, it kind of sort of symbolizes which part of the long span of Japanese history, it sort of tells you where you were born and what kind of life you've experienced, right? So when I say I was born in Showa 42, clearly it was after World War II, and that was a period when Japan was surging, right? So the era of Showa sort of symbolizes a very dynamic, and at least the latter part of it has a positive connotation. But the era after Showa, which is Heisei, there was a sort of a burst of economy. People were talking about Japan surging, maybe even overpassing the U.S. back. It was clearly a euphoria. But back in the 1980s, we thought we were a very strong economy, maybe overconfident about it. But the economy sort of burst. So the difficult of Heisei was it spans for 30 years, but it was a very difficult and stagnating era.
Now, the name of the new era, Reiwa, right. is Reiwa. Not without controversy. What is it supposed to mean, according to the government?
Well, when people speculate what kind of Chinese characters they would use, what kind of sort of pronunciation or sound it would have, and when it came out, we weren't quite sure what it was. And there were some, many speculations because these Chinese characters has various meaning to it, right? It's not like one Chinese character has one meaning. It has various meanings. And when it came out, you know, some critical of the Abe administration, which is
Shinzo Abe, the prime minister.
Shinzo Abe, right. He's known to be a rather conservative politician, and people speculate what Prime Minister Abe's intention was. And this Chinese character, Rei, has a meaning that you order things and that it's law and order.
Well, right. And it has militaristic connotations to it. What's your
reading?
Not
necessarily militaristic, but more of a order that is very structured.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not the intention of the prime minister and the people who chose this term.
So you don't think that was on purpose? I mean, in fact, was it even the prime minister's choice to make?
If it was so, it would be so silly. I think we should understand Prime Minister's word at face value. The meaning that the Prime Minister and his team wanted to sort of infuse is beautiful harmony. It sort of has a sort of a calm feeling to it. And I can understand because I said Heisei was a difficult period for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look into the future, we see, you know, China's rise. East Asia is a very difficult region, right? So we would want a calmer region. I think that was kind of the intention that Prime Minister Abe had, not just looking at what's happening, you know, around the region, but also within. Japan would face some difficult issues. So the Prime Minister's wish wasn't to infuse his own sort of idea or anything, but to sort of portray a desirable era for the coming 10, 20 years.
The name comes from a work of ancient Japanese poetry.
That's right.
But this is very fascinating. Usually, the names of these eras come from Chinese literature.
Right.
What do you make of that statement?
Well, I mean, it's something new. As you said, we are used to choosing this term from a Chinese traditional ancient text. But this time around, it was the first time. And there were some other, you know, candidates as well. I believe there were six altogether. And some of them were from Chinese texts. But the one that the team chose was one from the Japanese traditional text. And I can understand that, you know, Japan is in a sort of a, you know, soul-searching phase right now. You know, the economy burst. Other sort of countries in the region are rising. We have some domestic issues, so we wanted to sort of anchor you know, our sort of feeling and how we see the future in our sort of traditional old Japanese poems. And I think that's quite natural. Some people, I understand, would see a nationalism in there, but I don't think that was the case.
You've mentioned a lot of the challenges that people in Japan are facing in the present era. There was the Fukushima disaster in 2011.
Right.
The economy has slowed. There's uncertainty in Asia over the future of North Korea.
Right.
The population is aging in Japan.
Right.
Do you think that this change in era will help swell the national pride?
You know, when you ask the Japanese people about this term, Reiwa, you know, 60% of the sort of the public, according to the polls, said it's good, right? But at the same time, would this Reiwa and the change of era change our daily lives and actual sort of, you know, the economy on that? More than 60% said it's not going to change. So I don't think it's going to have a direct impact on the economy or politics or the issues that we're facing. But it's a sense that, you know, this era and the times that we're living is going to be sort of, you know, on a reset mode, that and that we're going to start all over from scratch at a psychological level. So that psychological and symbolic significance is much more important than the actual. So that people don't believe that actually things is going to change.
That's Toshi Nakayama, a Japan fellow at the Wilson Center, speaking with us about the new era that is dawning on Japan, the Reiwa era. Toshi, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
And ahead of the new era, Reiwa t-shirts, stickers, and mugs are flying off the store shelves in Japan. And in honor of the new emperor, the Grand Hyatt Tokyo is selling king-sized gourmet hamburgers 10 inches in diameter with nearly 7 pounds of beef at a cost of, wait for it, $900. According to CBS News, only one group has ordered the burger. The chef had to cut it into slices like a pie.